Life and our experience of it can be filled with hard places. And today we look at a psalm that I think can be aptly described as a psalm for hard places. It is Psalm 61. It's a psalm written by a person who was in a hard place. It was written by King David. Of course, we know that David had an important role in the Old Testament life of the people of God. He was the king of Israel. He is described as a man after God's own heart. And we know that many of the psalms that we have in the scriptures were, and that are so meaningful to us, were written by David. But the scriptures are abundantly clear that David was not perfect. And among his shortcomings, there is reason to think that he was not the greatest parent, that he was not the greatest father. If you were to make your way to 2 Samuel and read through particularly the middle of that book, we would discover there some serious drama among his children. It was a dysfunctional family, actually, to the extreme. And it appears that David stayed largely uninvolved, detached, as a parent, as a father in the situation. And one suspects that that was really his pattern as a parent. You know, there are fathers who become so involved with their work and other aspects of life, and they do so to the detriment of the well-being of their children. And David probably was such a person. He was a king. He had his armies to tend to. He had many other involvements in life, and he probably got his strokes, if you will, from that setting. And there's every indication that his children received the unfortunate consequences of his lack of involvement. Well, some of the drama with those children came to a head when one of his sons, Absalom, rose up in rebellion against him. Absalom set in motion an attempt to take over David's throne. And fearing for his life, David left home. He left Jerusalem and fled into the wilderness. And that was David's hard place at this point in his life. His life actually being threatened by one of his own sons. And this is the likely setting for Psalm 61, which we consider today. I'm pretty sure that all of us have been in hard places at one time or another in our lives. And some of you may, in fact, be in such a place even now. We all know that we live in a very complicated, broken, what we would describe as a fallen world. And hard places just happen. And how do they happen? Why do they happen? Do they happen due to circumstances beyond our control? Do they happen because of our own decisions and actions and irresponsibilities? Or do they happen because of some combination of both of those things? Well, in this complicated world, one has to believe that all three are a possibility. And David found himself in a hard place due to circumstances in part beyond his own control, but also in large part due to matters that were his responsibility. But the result of all that is Psalm 61, a psalm for hard places. So let's turn and see what it is that David wrote in this situation that he found himself. Psalm 61 reads, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. But we're going to consider five different aspects, points that seem to make their way out of this psalm. And the first is that hard places have their way of evoking emotions in those who find themselves in them. And usually they are not positive emotions. They can be things like anxiety, fear, pain. And what was David's emotion as he found himself in this situation? Well, I think there's a reflection of that given to us in verse 2, where David wrote, "From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint." David felt faint. And that word can actually be translated in a number of different ways. It can also mean vexed or agitated or overwhelmed, perplexed. David was not filled at this moment in his life with joy and peace. He felt faint. He felt weak. He felt overwhelmed by what was taking place. And that was in part because he felt like he was at the end of the earth, also mentioned in this verse. He was, in fact, a cut off from what would have been his normal life. He felt as if he were cut off from civilization, and that he felt that way because he was. He was far from home. He was far from Jerusalem, where he lived. He was far from the temple and the routines of public worship, which were so important to him. And David's hard place evoked those emotions in his life. And one wonders what your emotions may be when you find yourself in hard places in your own life. Well, the second thing we see in this psalm is that David did something in the midst of this situation. And what we see is that he cried out to God in prayer. And that's given to us in verse 1. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer." When David hit his hard place, when we hit our own hard places, we are faced with a basic decision. We can choose to seek to try to navigate our way through that hard place by ourselves, in our own power, in our own sense of wisdom. And typically that is usually our first response when all of a sudden we're in a hard place. But there is another option. And that other option is to call out for help. And specifically to call out for help to the Lord. And that is what we see David do in his situation. He cried out to the Lord. And actually a silver lining that can come as one might find themselves in hard places is that it can really be a boost to our relationship, to our walk with the Lord. My guess is we've all known people who have faced a hard place in life, and they would absolutely never want to go back and through what it was they had experienced. But they might also readily admit that during that time, they maybe had never been closer to the Lord. They had never cried out to him as much as they did then. And that they had found themselves relying on the Lord in a way that they would not normally have. So even in the midst of a hard place, even in the midst of crying out for help that we need, God can give a silver lining, and that can be a close walk with him in the midst of it. But then we see a third thing in this psalm, and we see David's initial plea. It comes to us in the second part of verse 2. He cried, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And what is this rock? Was it a place that maybe David would get away to when he wanted to be by himself? Maybe a high place in his backyard. Not that he had a backyard, but we might. Some place that was a rock and he would go sit there to get away. Some wonder if it was a reference to the mounts in Jerusalem where the temple was located. They wonder if that's the particular rock that he had in mind. And that may, in fact, be in the background in David's thinking. But the rock in Psalm 61 is really a reference to something even higher. It's a reference to the Lord himself, to the one who is truly the rock, the one who is high and above all and every circumstance of life. You know, a very real challenge that comes with those hard places in life is to keep one's perspective on what's happening in life, because our perspective is dominated by dark clouds and pessimism. It can be dominated by discouragement and even despair. And the negative things in the world seem to move in on us at such times. And David knew that there was another perspective to what was taking place in his life. And it was not found in his circumstances, but it was found in the rock. It was found in the Lord, who was higher and is higher and above all the circumstances of life. And even while in the midst of the hard places, it is possible to have another perspective, the Lord's perspective on what it is that is taking place. And it is when our hearts and minds are stayed upon Him, stayed upon the rock, it is then that God can lead us to that higher place. Are you possibly in a hard place at this time? Well, turn to the Lord, that He would lead you to the rock that is higher than your circumstances. And not expect, in so doing, not expect that your circumstances would change. But you can expect, undoubtedly, like David did, that your perspective can change on those things. But we asked, you know, who is this rock and what is this rock? As New Testament believers, we now know that the rock, the true rock, is Jesus Himself. He is that rock of ages who was cleft for us, who came into this world to give Himself, that we might be forgiven and that we might have a relationship with Him, and that we might be able to turn to Him in the midst of absolutely every set of circumstances that can come our way. For He is truly the rock that is higher than we are. And then there's the fourth thing that comes to us. David does something most helpful in these verses. And what he does is, in verses 3 and 4, give us some characteristics of this rock that he is turning to. And we consider them for a minute. In verse 3, we see, first of all, that he says, "For you have been my refuge." The Lord is a refuge to him. And what is a refuge? Well, a refuge is a place of safety. The world wasn't a safe place for David at this time. There were such things as cities of refuge that were set aside in Israel for certain circumstances. And if you fit those circumstances, you could go to those cities and you would be protected and safe there. But David wasn't in such a circumstances. He could not go to a city of refuge. And he found his safe haven in his relationship with the Lord. You know, we as humans really do have unbelievably deep longings for safety. Literally, how many billions of dollars are spent every year trying to provide physical safety in this world? Nations have armies to protect themselves. Metropolitan areas, small areas, have police forces. There are security firms to help patrol your places of work. And there are home security systems. And the list goes on and on of the ways money is spent in a pursuit of safety. But as Psalm 127 says to us, "Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." For in the end, unless the Lord watches over us, it is only in the Lord that the true place of refuge and security can be found. And then the next thing David mentions is that the Lord is a strong tower against the enemy. And David's drawing on an ancient image of strength against one's foes, the walled tower. My guess is a number of you have had the experience of visiting an ancient castle somewhere in the world. For me, that happened to be in Wales, an ancient castle. sort of half of what it used to be, but still standing in this castle were high walls and towers. And they were there not to just look pretty. They were there for a purpose. They were there to provide a place of security for the people who were in that tower against approaching enemies. And that's the image David draws on as he speaks of the Lord as a strong tower. For the Lord is our strong tower when we flee to him. And then David gives another image. He uses the image of safety that can be found from the elements of life in a tent. He says, let me dwell in your tent forever. And he may undoubtedly have a particular tent in mind. It was the tabernacle, the tent where the Holy of Holies was located for the people of Israel. It had traveled through the wilderness along with the people and then eventually made its way to Jerusalem. And it was there that God's presence was found. And David's longing to be in the Lord's tent was not really for what the covering gave to him. It was for the fact that he would have been in God's presence. For in fact, when one is in God's presence, one is in the safest place of all. And then David gives one more image for the rock. He says, let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. The Lord was also and is also like a mother hen who takes her weak and vulnerable chicks and places them under her wings for safety. So the Lord, this rock, is a refuge, and he is a strong tower, and he is a tent, and he is a shelter. This was the rock whom David sought to flee to, who was higher than he. But then where is this all headed for David? What was it he longed for or expected to happen as he was in this hard place and turned to the Lord? And the answer to that gives us our fifth point. I believe there are indications with what David says here in the psalm that tell us he wasn't totally sure of the outcome. He's absolutely clear of what his aspirations were. It was to be rescued from his situation and to live a long life. Verse 6, prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. He wanted to live on and to resume his role as king in the life of Israel. But I believe there's also a hint in this passage that he wasn't totally sure of what the outcome was going to be. He is reflective about his life in a way that someone might be if they are wondering if a chapter in their life is coming to an end or whether life itself might be coming to end. For in verse 5 he says, for you have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. David considers his life as it has been given to him up until this point. And he looks back. And what is it that he sees? He sees that God has given him an undeserved heritage, that of the godly. And what was this heritage? It was an undeserved relationship with God in the first place. One like the fathers of the faith, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, a relationship like the one that Moses had with the Lord. That was the heritage granted to him. David understood who he was. He understood that he was very much a sinner. He would say as much in Psalm 51 when he would write, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Yet he had this relationship with God, an undeserved relationship, and it was a heritage granted to him from God. And I suspect there was one other aspect of his heritage that may have come to mind as he was there in the wilderness. And it was a heritage of those who loved to worship the Lord. He would say elsewhere in the Psalms, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And he would write in other Psalms of how he loved to go up to the temple and lead the people of God in public worship. It was something he missed as he was in the wilderness. Some of you, I think, know that I'm in the final weeks of being one of the pastors on the staff here at First Presbyterian Church. It is the end of a chapter, if you will, and it provides one of those contexts of being reflective about certain things. And one of the things that does come to mind is being the undeserved recipient of a heritage from the Lord, beginning with the relationship with the Lord. I, for one, was born, grew up in a church-going but not gospel-believing home. And it was the Lord who pursued and found me and gave me a relationship in many ways I wasn't looking for, but granted to me. And it clearly is part of the rich heritage granted to me in life. But along the way, he's also given a real love of public worship that has come largely from being part of the life of this church. Gatherings like this, I did a little math. I think I've probably been present for at least 900 noon gatherings on Wednesday. I get tired even thinking about that. But the setting that has most affected that is really a gathering for public worship on Sundays. To gather there, to meet with the Lord's people in the Lord's presence. To have had the privilege of helping lead the people of God in public worship. That has been a rich heritage granted. Well, hard places are, in fact, hard. That is why we call them hard places. But hopefully Psalm 61 has shown and given a measure of hope in the face of such situations. That it has shown that it is possible to find grace to get through those hard times. A grace from the one who is the rock that is higher than we are, who rules and reigns over all of life's circumstances, who we can run to and flee to and know that in his hands we are safe and secure, and that he is the one who in the end will govern all the details that come our way. And that it is possible to discover that places that are hard, in fact, can bring good things to us. They highlight to us the importance of who the Lord is in our lives, that he is the most important thing, so that whether things are going well or whether, in fact, it is a hard time, he is there with us, and he will always be there with us. And it can provide a time to reflect upon what God has given to us in life up until that moment, and to discover that he is one who grants to us an amazing heritage, not one that we are humanly born into, but one that is granted to us from God himself as he comes to us in the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ and makes us his own. Let us be thankful to the Lord as we close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are a rich and loving Father, and we praise you for that. We thank you for the life of David and how even in the midst of his amazing, somewhat public shortcomings, he knew what it was to flee to you. And thank you for the Psalms that give us reflections of that. And may you grant us grace to live our lives in some measure like David did his life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.